the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, people of America. It is I, Todd Starnes. Hope you're doing well today, everybody. Wow, we got a lot going on. And it's going to be, look, I'm just telling you, it is going to be a very long day, a news day for all of us here in the business, as they say, keeping track on all sorts of big stories coming out of Capitol Hill. May I just say something, ladies and gentlemen, and I know that some of you, based on what I'm about to tell you, you're immediately going to pick up the phone and call your church and put me, yours truly, Todd Starnes, on your church prayer list. And here's the reason why. And I don't want you to, I am not, look, you're going to think, there goes Starnes. We knew he was a heathen. There goes Todd Starnes. He's the guy that sits in the back of the church. He's a backyard or backseat Baptist. That's who Starnes is. Actually, it's a back row Baptist. I just blew that whole thing, didn't I? Jeez, Luke, let me start over again. You're going to think that I'm backsliding, but I'm not backsliding. But I have a genuine question, and I don't know who decided that the men of the church, have you noticed the ladies of the church, they have their lunches and their brunches and their brunches, and they're very nice, and they have all sorts of great things. And then the children, the young people, they've got their lock-ins, right? Their events don't start till 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and they have a great time. But the men of the church, why do we have prayer breakfast that start at 6:30 in the morning? Could somebody explain that to me? I want to throw that out there. The men, we gather together for Bible study and fellowship and for some incredible food. But man, I'm telling you, it's the crack of dawn. And I'm sitting there going, geez, hello, is this somewhere in the New Testament I've been going through trying to, in the Baptist faith, a message? I'm not complaining, but I'm like, why can't the guys, we have a prayer lunch or a prayer snack? I'm just throwing that out there. I know people are going to think that I'm a backslider now, but I'm really not. I was just wondering. All that to say, had a good hearty breakfast this morning, so we're ready to rock and roll. So first and foremost, I want to talk about LaMonica McIver. And folks, I'm just really puzzled by what's happening within the Justice Department right now, and I don't get it. I'm flat out telling you, I just don't get this, because I like Kash Patel. I know Dan Bongino more than I know Kash Patel, and I don't know them to call them close friends, but Kash Patel, we are acquaintances, and I would say Bongino, we're friends. I just don't get what they're doing right now at the Justice Department. But honestly, most of this comes from Pam Bondi, who is starting to generate a lot of flack from conservatives and especially the America First movement. And again, it's here's the thing. For years. A lot of these guys were out there, and they were saying that Epstein was killed. There's no way he committed suicide. And now they're turning around, and Bongino and Kash Patel the other day on Maria Bartiromo's show were saying, well, it turns out that, he really did commit suicide. We've been through everything, and we can tell you affirmatively that he was not suicided. He committed suicide. And a lot of people are having a hard time grappling with this now. How quickly were they able to ascertain that when for years they've been telling us that he committed suicide? There had also been a lot of talk and very qualified conversations from qualified individuals and serious people here about what really happened in Butler County, Pennsylvania. And there were so many very, very strange things about the attempted assassination of President Trump, and the idea that just one person was able to scooch up on the rooftop there, the sloped roof and nearly take out, you know, President Trump. And many of these same people that are now in the Justice Department were saying, we know our sources are telling us that there was some sort of a conspiracy, that there were other people involved. And now all of a sudden, I mean, just boom, without a shadow of a doubt, they're coming out and saying, nope, there's no there there. This is exactly how it happened. And if anybody tells you anything else, then they're lying to you. And don't ask any more questions. And you're like, what? But we do have questions. We have a lot of questions, and those questions are not being answered other than these appearances that the people from the Justice Department are making on Fox News Channel. And I'm wondering here what the heck is going on. And again, I have nothing, and I got some hate mail, a lot of hate mail last week. Stearns, why are you being so negative? You need to be supportive of Donald Trump, you liberal. No, sir, I'm not a liberal. But when you have all these people that are out there saying these things happened, there was a conspiracy, there was a vast conspiracy on J6, there were serious questions about Jeffrey Epstein. And if you're bringing all of that up and now all of a sudden you're in charge and you're the people that have access to the information and you're turning around and you're telling us, oh, it turned out that the Biden Justice Department was right after all. I'm like, wait, what? What? That makes no sense to me. So anyway, I have some questions about what's going on. Because yesterday we found out that the Justice Department decided they're not going to charge the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. We saw the mayor of Newark, New Jersey on camera, on video camera, breaking the law. But the DOJ has dropped the charges. They're not going to be prosecuting. Now they are going to charge, and they have charged Congresswoman LaMonica McIver. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm glad they're doing that. I am. But I don't understand this. Why is the mayor getting off scot-free here? Mayor broke the law. If you or I had done what the mayor had done, we would be in jail and we would be charged. By the way, James Comey, remember James Comey? He's the guy walking hand in hand with the wife, and he allegedly came across the seashells that just washed up onto the shore, and as the waves, they washed the shells up onto the shore, and then they went back and they receded back into the ocean. It spelled 8647, kill, assassinate President Trump. What are the chances of that happening? I mean, we have to calculate those odds. James Comey is yet to be charged for that, ladies and gentlemen. He was not put in handcuffs. His home was not raided in a pre-dawn guns drawn raid. He was allowed to come in for questioning, but he wasn't arrested. Why is that? Why is it that James Comey is yet to be charged? By the way, Merrick Garland, so far no charges on Merrick Garland. What about Alejandro Mayorkas? That man actually committed treason against this country. Mayorkas allowed millions of illegals to breach our borders, and it was all intentional. And this guy is still walking around. What about Russia, Russia, Russia? You had President Trump just the other day talking about whether or not there should be military tribunals. Again, nobody's been arrested. There were committees held, investigations conducted at great expense to you, the taxpayer of America. You paid for all of that. All of the evidence has been compiled. This congressional investigations, that information turned over to the Justice Department. But nobody's been arrested. And we still don't have the Epstein files, even though we were told by the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, the files were literally sitting on her desk. She literally sitting on her desk. Now, going back to Epstein. They told us for months leading up to the election that it wasn't suicide. Now they tell us immediately, it was suicide. They told us there was some sort of a vast left-wing conspiracy regarding the Butler County assassination. Now we're being told there's no there. And by the way, we still have no information on who placed those explosive devices outside the DNC and RNC headquarters. Nobody's talking. So the question is why is it still business as usual at the Justice Department right now? And I don't think it's impolite to ask, what the heck is going on here? But instead, we're being told to sit down, be quiet, and wait until the Justice Department reveals everything in these Fox News interviews they're doing. I've got a problem with that, because that's not what I voted for in November. I voted for answers. And look, I understand you have to do your due diligence, but they're coming out almost immediately and saying, and again, hear me on this, the Epstein files, well, we just need more time. We can't be releasing any information about victims. You don't want that. You don't want us to be releasing private information about children, do you? Well, no, of course not. Nobody I know would. What are you saying? That makes absolutely no sense to me. But they're making it seem as if you're a bad person for just asking these questions. What's going on? I find it very interesting, though, they were able to get the immediate information right away about the Butler County assassination attempt, which happened just, last year? And yet, all this other information, it was supposed to be out, but it's not out. I've got problems with that. So now we've got LaMonica McIver. And I'm just going to say what needs to be said here. They need to throw the book at this woman. McIver, she put her hands on a federal agent. She needs to go to jail for a very long time. And if she doesn't, then it's going to send a message to all these other non-congressional goons that they're going to be able to get away with doing the same thing she did. Quite frankly, if you or I would have done that, we would have been shot right on the spot. I'm just telling you, look at what happened to Ashley Babbitt. Here's McIver. She's got a statement out. Earlier this month, I joined my colleagues to inspect the treatment of ICE detainees at Delaney Hall in my district. We were fulfilling our lawful oversight responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. Instead, ICE agents created an unnecessary and unsafe confrontation when they chose to arrest my Mayor Baraka. The charges against me are purely political. They mischaracterize and distort my actions and are meant to criminalize and deter legislative oversight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a congressional person, a member of Congress, who stood up before the microphones and declared that she was declaring GD war. I'm just shocked a bolt of lightning did not come crashing down out of the sky. But we serve a merciful God.
Can I get an amen?
I'm just telling you. So we have to throw the book at this woman, and there has to be an example set. I'm just wondering why the other two lawmakers were not arrested as well. And I'm wondering why the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, was let off the hook. I'm getting nervous here, folks, because it appears to me that somebody somewhere has a lot of stuff on a lot of people, and they're using that to silence folks within the administration, or it could be that maybe, just maybe, they don't have the fortitude necessary to follow through on these arrests. Time will tell, but the clock is ticking, and we've got a lot of stuff going on in this country, and we cannot allow lawlessness on Capitol Hill. We just can't do it. We cannot do it. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Again, a huge, busy day. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Am I off target here, folks? And if you are, give me a call. Naysayers, they go right to the top of the list. We'll be right back. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not by Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild, by visiting angel.com/starns. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And again, it's a little disappointing is all I'm saying. It's a little disappointing right now. LaMonica McIver, just moments ago, actually defended herself. I mean, this woman is a criminal thug, and she belongs in jail, but here she is defending what she did.
Would you have done anything differently?
No, I would not have. Once again, we showed up there to do a job, Kate. We were there for an oversight visit. We have done this before. You know, me, Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman, and Congressman Rob Menendez was just at a facility just a couple of weeks ago, not too far from this location, where we had an oversight visit. And we were a little bit delayed, but not, you know, confronted was in the middle of a chaos to do so. I think, number one, we have an obligation to do so. We have to show up and do our jobs. And at the end of the day, the reason why we were there is because we wanted to make sure this facility was up to par, that it was clean, that it was safe, and that the detainees there were, you know, given due process, that they were able to use the phone, that they were able to speak to their legal representation, which we found out was not happening. But that was our reason. So despite, you know, what Republicans are saying, like, you know, about us, you know, trying to break people out of jail, that's untrue. We were not there to do that. We were there to conduct an oversight visit, which after all of this, the chaos, Kate, they gave us a tour. You know, we were all of this. We broke in. We assaulted people. All of these things that, you know, Haba is saying and Republicans are saying.
Congresswoman, you are now facing a federal charge, though. Are you afraid of what's going to transpire now?
I mean, it's super unfortunate, Kate, that we have come to this point, you know, in America, that this is what we see happening to leaders who are trying to do their jobs. Rather, it's the mayor of the largest city. Rather, it's a judge. You know, we've seen this administration come after and attack, you know, leaders for doing their jobs. It's political intimidation, and I will not be intimidated. I expect to continue to do my job.
All right, there you have it. All but admitting what she did. But just because you're a member of Congress doesn't give you the right to go and smack around people. That woman's going to be wearing orange very soon. Speaking of wearing orange, I have a question for you. I've been thinking about what's been transpiring over the past couple of days with Joe Biden and this stage 4 prostate cancer that has just been diagnosed. We now know from just about every major medical expert out there that it is more than likely that Biden has had that cancer for as many as 10 years. Ladies and gentlemen, a very simple question, and I want to hear from you on this. Should former First Lady, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden, should she be charged with elder abuse? I think there's an argument that could be made that she belongs in jail for what she did to her husband. Because that guy, there's nothing there. Front porch lights on, but nobody's home, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. So today is book launch day, and just a little bit of insider info on books that come out nationally, and mine will be out on June 17th. You know what's interesting is that Tuesdays are always book launch days. I don't know why that is, but they always like to release the big books on Tuesdays. And today, Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson's book, Original Sin, is officially in bookstores. And I'm telling you, folks, over the weekend, I had a chance to read this. It is so infuriating to see what happened. And you've got people out there now saying that we cannot be talking about Biden's mental health. We can't be talking about the cover-up. We can't be talking about any of this stuff now. It's inappropriate because Biden has been diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. And, you know, I was I mentioned to you earlier that I was at the men's Bible study breakfast at my church this morning. It was a great Bible study. But anyway, a couple of guys around the table had actually dealt with prostate cancer, and they were just livid about how this could have been covered up. You know, a lot of people, though, and I've really been taken aback by this, but there are a lot of conservatives out there that say the health of the president is really nobody's business. That's between the president and his doctor. Now, I would sincerely disagree with that. Now, my critics are saying, well, Todd, you know, how would you like it if people knew about your medical history? Well, I'm not an elected official. And number two, I openly talk about my medical history. I don't have any problem doing that. But it seems to me if you are going to be the leader of the free world, if you are going to decide when to send men and women into battle, if you have the power to push the button, then I want to make sure you're a person of sound mind and body. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I hear me on this, that there were folks over on Fox yesterday saying, you know what, we've got to ease up now. The guy's been diagnosed. We've got to let it go. I sincerely disagree. I believe that we can be prayerful. I believe we can hope that President Biden recovers. But at the same time, this is a scandal of epic proportions. And I will say this. There's one person who I blame in all of this, and it's not Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is not of sound mind or body. The person I blame is Jill Biden. This woman is devious, conniving, and downright evil for what she has put her husband through. Now, you might be saying, Tom, that's a bit harsh. You know, she's the faithful spouse. She just wants what's best for her husband. Really? Is that true? Are you telling me that it would be best for a stage 4 cancer patient to go through the pains and the rigors of a political campaign running for the highest office in the land? Keep in mind, she knew how bad off her husband was, and she's the one who signed off for him to run for re-election. It was her decision. This woman's power hungry. And at least based on my reading of Jake Tapper's book, she was like Cruella. She was like Cinderella's stepmother. She is not a good person. It's just really, really shocking. Now, CBS News, I just found this to be fascinating. CBS News, they've found another culprit here. And CBS News is suggesting that Biden's doctors at the White House intentionally stopped him from getting a prostate cancer test. Take a listen.
I thought it took a while to do that. Wouldn't he be getting regular checkups?
Yeah, so it depends on the kind of cancer you're talking about here. We do know it's quite aggressive again. So the time in which it would take to spread to the bones is going to be shorter than with a less aggressive cancer. And he's 82. Normally, doctors will stop screening for prostate cancer at 75 or so, because after that, the prostate cancers you typically pick up are very slow growing. And so the harms of all of the testing and treatment for something that may not kill you, you're talking about risk versus benefit. It may not be worth the risk.
Isn't there a blood test that men can take to know if they have an issue that might warrant further examination?
So there's something that we call a PSA test, but that can also be indicative of many different things. It could just be you have an enlarged prostate. Maybe you have a low-grade infection in the prostate. There are many things that can cause that. And so this is, again, why after a certain age, doctors will typically stop screening for prostate cancer.
Wow.
But in his case, it's not screening. It's important to emphasize this was diagnostic because he had urinary symptoms. And so there was a reason to do more testing.
So what they're, that's, by the way, that's the chief medical officer at CBS News. And they're saying that the reason why Joe Biden did not get tested is because he's too old. So, ladies and gentlemen, based on the reporting of CNN or CBS News, Joe Biden could lose his life as a result of Obamacare. Let that sink in. Man, that's a kick up the wazoo. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But you know what I'm talking about. By the way, the transgender congressman from Delaware, Mr. Sarah McBride, suggesting that Americans should get their prostates checked. Congressman Sarah, might I recommend that you do the same. We want everybody to be healthy in America, live long and prosperous lives. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is Jake Tapper, and before we get to that, hold on, we'll play this. Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson on CNN earlier today, and they're explaining, this is, again, you talk about the vast left-wing conspiracy to cover all of this up. It turned out that there were no cabinet meetings. Nobody was having one-on-one contact with Joe Biden. Take a listen.
I think the degree to which the team around President Biden was hiding him and sequestering him, mainly starting in the fall of 2023, cannot be overstated. There's a cabinet meeting in October 2023, and then several cabinet members told us for the book, they never saw him again in person for months and months and months. He was kept away from them. And cabinet secretaries we spoke to for the book told us it was weird. One of them did have a meeting with Biden in between that last cabinet meeting of 2023 in October and the debate, and described him as being disoriented and out of it. And I think the degree to which he was being hidden from even their own administration cannot be overstated. Now, that's not to let anybody off the hook. I mean, this was a scandal and, frankly, a tragedy, a real tragedy that the American people had every right to know about. We all saw some of these moments in front of the camera that were disturbing. But what was going on behind the scenes, as we learned through these more than 200 interviews, was even more disturbing.
Yeah, I'll just add one last thing, which is that, you know, Democratic lawmakers were scared of the White House and retaliation for speaking out.
Hey, and Alex, just to push forward on the subject of being off the hook, because Axios has been talking about this the last few days. Your competitors over Politico, too. Your book has really started a discussion about how Democrats will need to address this in elections in, you know, 2026 and beyond that. So what challenge do you think that poses for current Democrats?
I mean, a lot of these same Democrats that are now admitting that Joe Biden should not have run again, that he had cognitive decline, there's a lot of tape and posts and tweets, you know, attesting that he was up to this job, not just at the time in 2024, but for four more years, which is the job he was going to do. So you are seeing, you know, some try to basically reverse themselves, some try to navigate it, and some just dodging the question altogether. You saw Chuck Schumer on, you know, Casey's show just last week, basically just say, we're looking forward, we're looking forward.
One of the things also, John, if I could say that, that's really campaign manager in 2008, and then basically retired from politics in 2013 until he was brought in to help Kamala Harris in her 107-day campaign after Biden ultimately dropped out. David Plouffe said to us for the book, never again can we as a party tell voters that they are not seeing what they are witnessing with their own eyes. And I think that's a very important message.
Yes, but then again, Jake Tapper was out there, and ladies and gentlemen, both he and Alex Thompson did their gut-level best to marginalize and demean and try and deflect every single time somebody brought up what all of us could see with our own eyes. Now, this is fascinating that a former Biden official, Tommy Vitter, is coming out and he's saying, well, you know, maybe we were just a little too hard on Robert Hur. And Robert Hur, of course, the special counsel, the tapes, some of the tapes are leaking out. And if you remember early on, and every single one, hear me on this, every single one of the Democrats, every single news anchor in America, the New York Slimes, the Washington Compost, all of them bear responsibility because they tried to destroy Robert Hur, who was a good and decent man. And they destroyed this man's character, his integrity. They went after him. And it turns out that Robert Hur, based on the tapes and also based on the reporting from Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson themselves, Robert Hur was nothing but professional, polite, kind-hearted, and quite frankly sounded compassionate as he was dealing with a feeble old man. And you remember the argument. I mean, it was Joe Biden came out and the allegations were made that Biden couldn't even remember when his son Beau died. And it was out there. Biden, they pushed him out there in front of the microphone. Who did they say? Oh, I know my son Beau, and who the hell did they think they are? It was terrible. And that's what he sounded like. Well, it turns out that he didn't know when his son died. You say, Tom, well, that was a long time ago. Really? My dad passed in 2005. My mom died in 2006. You never forget stuff like that. But Biden forgot, not because he intentionally forgot. His mind's not there. His mind is rotting away, and it's a terrible thing. And again, I blame Jill Biden for shoving her husband out there. She must really hate that man. I don't know what's been going on in that relationship. She must really hate him to put her husband through all of that. What an embarrassing thing. So anyway, it's all there, and it turns out that everything that was reported by the mainstream media was false. Everything reported by conservative media and talk hosts like yours truly turned out to be accurate. And it's sad to say that, but it's true. I wish we didn't have to come out and say that, but it's true. And a lot of people owe a lot of folks apologies. And a lot of people owe Donald J. Trump an apology. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Coming up 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax, Congressman Thomas Massie is going to join us. President Trump is very upset with the congressman, so we'll have a great combo tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. Let's go to the phone lines, though. Kathy in Salem, Oregon, KYKN, our great station. Hi, Kathy, what's up?
Good morning. Everybody is talking about he was starting to mentally decline in 2023. I don't think so. I think that he was pretty much out to lunch in 2019 during the campaign. He was sitting there on the, I don't know where he was, but he was talking about how the hair on his legs turns blonde and the little kids just love it and they love to feel it and blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine President Trump saying something like that?
Well, yes, I do remember this. That was back when Biden was cavorting with the gangbanger known as Corn Pop, and Biden was a lifeguard at the black swimming pool. And you're right. He invited the children to come and caress his leg hairs. I'm getting a little throw up in my throat right now, Kathy. I'm just a little disturbed.
I know, but I'm just trying to say he wasn't mentally declining in 23. I mean, he was gone, I think, in 23, but it was going on. And I think it was a combination of a lot of his personal problems with his kid. I think that he just got worse and worse, more stressed out. I don't know. And you're right. I think that Jill could have put a halt to all of this public ridicule and
I mean, Kathy, I would just ask the wives of America, if you knew your husband was dealing with a terminal cancer, would you shove him out there into the public arena, or would you shield him from all of the embarrassment and the humiliation?
You mean so that I could be first lady?
There you go.
I could shield him so I could be first lady?
Mm-hmm. It's really simple, Kathy.
Yeah. And so I just, you know, I'm weary of people saying it started in 23.
No. As a matter of fact, I was trying to find this. I'll go back into the book. They mentioned in the book that there were signs in 2017 that things were not right. So you've got to, I mean, you're right. This goes far. It's a lot further back than 2023. They knew going into the 2020 election, this guy wasn't going to be able to go the distance.
Nope, I know, but they just wanted the power, and they felt like he was the only one that could give it to them.
Kathy, on behalf of America, thank you for reminding us of the caressing of the leg hairs during the lunch hour. Appreciate you,
Kathy. I'm sorry.
No, we love you, Kathy. All right.
Okay.
All right, good to hear from you. Let's go to Helen, Georgia. Beautiful town, by the way. Keith, what's on your mind, Keith?
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if maybe when Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and the other ones finally got sworn into the Justice Department and the FBI, someone from the really deep, deep state made a visit to them, surprisingly visited an inopportune time and explained to them if they opened up certain things that the consequences for them and their family and people around them were not very good.
So if I'm hearing what you're saying here, Keith, you're suggesting that maybe they've got the goods on either these individuals or their family members.
No, I say that they know what they do, when they are, what they do, and everything like that. And the deep state is very powerful, and they say, look, if you go outside the line, consequences will be paid. It doesn't necessarily mean for them directly, but it could be their families or their friends or anything, because the FBI, the Justice Department, the CIA, they know everything. They run it. It's the deep state, and it didn't get cleared out between Trump and Biden first when they came through. They got Keith, still strong.
Keith, let me jump in here because your signal's getting garbled. You got too many beautiful mountains there in Helen. But to finish Keith's thought for this hour, folks, one of the big problems is we haven't fired enough people in the deep state yet, and we've got to get cracking on that. All right, don't go anyway. We're getting to your calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. Those of you listening by radio, those of you watching us right now on our YouTube channel, by the way, we're doing a back and forth in the live chat, so I want to encourage you to go and join me there, just so that you know, you are going to be chatting with me directly, and we would love for you to do that. Nate says, hey, Todd, I own your book, God Bless America, one of my favorite books. Thank you for writing a really insightful book. Well, Nate, thank you for those kind words. Really appreciate that. And Nate's an old-timer because I wrote that book, 10, 11 years ago. And had a lot of fun writing that one. By the way, well done yesterday. I got an email from our publisher like, what did you do yesterday? Because we had huge pre-orders. You say, Todd, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings. And co-wrote this with my good friend Michelle Cox. And you're going to love this patriotic book. But more importantly, it's a reminder of why God is blessing America. And I want you to pre-order a copy. It'll officially be in bookstores on June 17th. But in the meantime, you're going to be able to get a copy pre-ordered at your favorite bookstore. Also, for those of you who might live in the Memphis area, we're going to be doing a big national book launch celebration. We're going to be traveling all over the country this summer, and we're coming to many of your towns and communities, and can't wait for that to happen. But we're launching it all in Germantown, Tennessee, at Germantown Baptist Church, and we're expecting a huge, huge crowd, and we want a huge crowd. We're going to have a lot of great food, live music. We'll be signing books. It's going to be a lot of – you're going to meet the whole crew. All of the Todd Stern Show team will be there, and so you'll have a chance to say hello. Now, if you would like to attend, we're going to make this very simple, but if you would like to attend, just give us a call and Miss Cassie will take down your info and we would love to be able to meet you personally. You say, Todd, I live in Winston-Salem or I live in Houston, Texas, and I want to come. All right, well, Delta's ready when you are, but you're going to have to pick up the plane ticket. We'll feed you. We'll do that for you. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926 if you would like to attend our big book launch celebration here in the Memphis area. All right, I've got to read some items from the Todd Stern Show mailbag. You know, we get these letters occasionally, and some of them are, well, most of them are very ugly, to be perfectly honest with you. We don't get much true fan mail. But every now and again, we do, and we're going to read some of those items. Here we go. Oh, geez, Alou. This from Joe, writing in. Dear Todd, you're a blankety blank blank blank. John, writing in. Todd, you know you're a male appendage, right? No, I did not know that, John. That's not very kind. Dwayne writing in, Todd, go blank yourself, you piece of blank. Rather right to the point there. Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne. I'll do my best. But I think anatomically that's incorrect and inconceivable and highly improbable. And then my favorite, which is actually a piece of fan mail. You know, it's very rare that we receive actual handwritten letters here at the Todd Stern Show that do not contain some sort of a white powdery substance and don't require a hazmat response. Dylan, have you noticed I always ask you to open the boxes? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I was going to wonder if you were going to stop there or get me a vest or something.
Then I walk out into the parking lot. Holler when you got it open.
You need a bomb suit.
What? Why is that box ticking? That was balance of nature. It wasn't a bomb. Anyway, this letter, it was, first of all, it was handwritten on loose leaf paper, and the guy's got really good penmanship. Hello, Mr. Starnes. My name is Christopher, and I'm a devoted fan of your show since August of 2022. I called into your show on August 28th, 2024 to discuss the election, and you were very kind to engage in political talk. Well, we do that here, Christopher. Happy to help. Since then, I have bought a home, got engaged, and looking on the bright side of life, I make it a habit to listen to your show every single day, and I am always entertained with your daily monologues. On your May 2nd, 2025 episode titled "Thank You, President Trump, for Defunding NPR PBS," Ms. Patty from North Carolina informed you and millions of your listeners that she was diagnosed with cancer, and I am keeping her and her family in my thoughts and prayers. Your radio show attracts new listeners every day with your conservative viewpoint, and I'm honored to be a part of your radio show family. There is nobody like you. And I hope you find continued success for many years to come. Regards, Christopher. Well, Christopher, God bless you. And thank you so much for this incredibly kind letter. And I'm going to frame this, or at least we'll put it on the fridge downstairs. Thank you very much for that. You know, we love getting letters and correspondence from you guys. Preferably keep it clean and no four-letter words, if at all possible. But just a big thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for supporting this show. We're just a great big bunch of folks here. All right, let's go to the phone real quick. 901-260-5926. Don in Houston, Texas, Patriot Talk 920, our great affiliate there. Hey, Don, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to give you a thank you for all you do. And most of us out here, at least that's listening, agree with you. And all that hate mail and stuff is just crap, okay? And then I want to give you just a little bit of levity out of this conversation. I want you to teach me how to speak code white, because evidently this Tim Walz guy, or whatever his name is, he can speak in code. And me being a white guy, and I don't understand it, and I need for someone to kind of clue me in and give me a heads up on how I can listen to him and understand.
Don, I am so glad that you called in today, sir. I believe in divine providence, and I have you know, sir, that not only am I one of the top talk radio hosts in America, but I'm also fluent and honky. So I can speak white to you, sir. Now, first and foremost, Don, are you a man of the Caucasian persuasion?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, here's the deal, and it's very simple. If you want to learn how to speak whitees, or if you want to speak honky, it's very simple. It's a very simple procedure, but it takes a little bit of practice. You have to pucker your butt, and if you pucker your buttocks, it's going to immediately cause your face to pucker as well. And if you're able to get the dual puckage or puckerage, then you will talk like a white guy. Let me see if I can't demonstrate here live on the radio for you, Don, if you don't mind. Dylan, I don't know where I'm going with this. All right, hold on. Let me commence to puckering my buttocks and my cheeks. Well, hello, Don. How are you today, sir? I'm Todd Stearns, and I'm just a white guy and very proud of my white face. I want some Barry Manilow, please. Actually, that sounds like a gay white man, but
I love it.
You get
I
the point.
Now I'll be able to talk to Tim when he comes on, and once in a while I hear him, and now I know what he's talking about. I didn't want to be, seem like I was ignorant or anything.
No, sir. You're not ignorant at all. But, Don, I would tell you, please do not pucker your butt while you're standing. It looks a little awkward.
Okay.
All right. Well, I just unpuckered. Right. So, yes, Don, I hope we've been able to help you.
You've been helping me. I'm okay with everything now. I think I'll be able to understand some of the things I hear. And thank you for doing what you do, my friend.
Well, Don, thank you. And we always like to have a little chuckle here on the Todd Starts radio show. Thank you for that. Gary writing it. Gary's one of our regulars, and I've got to give Gary a shout-out. He and I disagree every now and again, but he's a fine fellow. He says, Todd, those crazy letters you read are interesting. I say interesting because it's encouraging to know that liberal idiots are listening to your program. It's true. Maybe they will learn some truths. Gary, you never know. It may happen. You just never know. All right. Wow. All right. I don't want to go to Bob because Bob wants to talk about his prostate surgery, and you know, we've already puckered our wazoos. So, Bob, hang tight. We're going to take a break and reset. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. Gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're
going
to see who you went to
defend. Senator,
I'm sorry,
please,
Mr. Chairman.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated
comments
like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You
Secretary
had your
Rubio
time.
Should take that testimony to the federal
Senator,
court of the United States because he hasn't done it under oath.
Here's another point, okay? There is a division in our government between the federal branch and the judicial branch. No judge in the judicial branch cannot tell me or the president how to conduct foreign policy.
Wow. That's Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, just moments ago up on Capitol Hill. He just tore Senator Chris Van Hollen a new one. And by the way, also Senator Tim Kaine. Senator Kaine is very upset that we took in the white South African refugees. And Secretary Rubio just told Senator Kaine, you just don't like the fact they're white. Wow. Well done, Secretary Rubio. Folks, I am telling you, I am more impressed with Marco Rubio every single day. And I'm just going to, I will say this now. You can go ahead and bookmark this moment. We'll go back and play it. I think Marco Rubio, we're looking at a future contender for president of the United States right here. That's what I think we're looking at. Marco Rubio is crushing it right now in his current job. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And I am curious. I want to go back to this Joe Biden situation where there are a lot of people now starting to say, you know, maybe, just maybe, Joe Biden's the one we need to be looking at here. And she's the one that ought to be charged with elder abuse for what she did to her decrepit husband. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to Dahlonega, Georgia. Bob is listening to us. And Bob, I understand that you had prostate surgery a few months back. I hope you're doing okay.
Yes, sir. I'm recovering now. And what prevented me from getting it into my bones was a CT scan, which is a non-intrusive procedure where they just put you in a little tube for 20 minutes and it kind of tells you if there's any kind of cancer throughout your body and if it escaped outside the prostate. I was at a Gleason score of 6-7, which is about like a score of 2.5, like a stage 2.5. And to get to stage 9, I can't fathom that because I was monitored for 2 years. They call it active monitoring, where they say, look, you got a high PSA. Let's see if it goes up. Let's do a biopsy in 6 months if it continues to go up. So it was a whole routine, and it was straightforward, and everything was preventable. And I went to a urologist, oncologist, and everything worked out as planned. And I'm not the type of guy that likes to go to a doctor, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And I, like I said, up here in Dahlonega, you just have simple people, simple doctors. You're talking a former president of the United States. They should have been actively monitoring him, making sure that his PSA was good, and everyone, every male should get a PSA check at any point in their life, earlier the better, because my oncologists tell me that they'll do an autopsy on a 20-something-year-old kid after a car accident or something, and they're seeing first stages of cancer in them. So every man, by the age of 80, they said 80% of men will have some form of prostate cancer.
It's a very common thing. And again, you know, if you're a man of a certain age, you need to go and make sure you're getting tested. And if you're going in for a regular checkup or a physical, Bob, they will do that. They will do that test.
That's how they picked up on me, because I had not gone in like 3 years. And now I'm like I said, after that, it was every 6 months, and I'm going to continue to monitor every 6 months. And thank God that they dealt with it through surgery. It did not escape into the bone. So that was their biggest concern at the Gleason of 6'7".
Well, I'm glad you're doing good. You sound great, Bob, and I'm glad you did what you needed to do. And I would encourage every man out there to do what you did.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
All right, Bob. Thank you. And man, he sounds great, and I'm glad he's doing well. And again, it's how did the White House physician miss this? That guy should have already been subpoenaed. He should be on Capitol Hill testifying today. That's where that guy ought to be. By the way, Jake Tapper is doing a sit-down interview with Megyn Kelly at this hour, and we'll keep you updated. I will say this, Megan's asking tough questions and Tapper's answering them. One of the things that Tapper revealed is that he actually reached out to Lara Trump after the interview, or after, I guess, whatever they found out. And they called Lara Trump and said, you were right after all, which I appreciate. But you know what? He should have done that on TV. Jake Tapper should have done that on TV. He owes Lara Trump especially an apology. By the way, you've heard the news, folks. Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange, now listed on the big board. And millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. I can't tell you. I just got an email this morning. Viewership on my show, 5 o'clock. And you know who I'm going up against? I'm going up against the five. It's me versus the five. My number's up 5% this quarter. So thank you for that. Exciting to see our little show growing. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says it's just terrific. 40 million Americans going to Newsmax, and its audience, get this, grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. And if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, just call your advisor or get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. Stand with Newsmax today for a strong America, ladies and gentlemen. All right, coming up, we're going to be checking in with our good friend Josh Jones, our favorite GOP media strategist in D.C. Also, we're going to be talking to a member of Congress in the next hour about reconciliation. President Trump up on Capitol Hill today, making a strong case for lawmakers to move through his plan. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, not everything I want is in that plan, but that's okay, because this is what President Trump wants. And what President Trump wants, in my estimation, President Trump ought to get. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And again, don't forget, in the break, head over to your favorite bookstore online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and pre-order a copy right now of the brand new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, endorsed by Franklin Graham, Pastor Robert Jeffress, Dr. Jack Hibbs, Dr. Paul Chappell. We got a lot of great, and Karen Kingsbury, by the way, as well, a great, great novelist. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. This is weird. Congresswoman Nancy Mace posting the following statement on her official Congressional X account. She's holding an oversight hearing today, and there's been a lot of scandal unfolding in South Carolina. and a lot of accusations being hurled around about predators, sexual predators. And I'm just going to read what Nancy Mace just wrote. Yes, I'm going there. Uh-oh. Today, I will show my naked body on one of the videos predator and rapist Patrick Bryan took of me and many other women. We have to throw in alleged there. Without our knowledge, without our permission, and without our consent, he stripped his victims of their dignity and their privacy. So, no other explanation other than Nancy Mace, the high school dropout turned Waffle House waitress who became the first female to graduate from the Citadel and now is a sitting member of Congress from the Palmetto State, is going to show her naked body today. Dylan, I predict C-SPAN ratings are about to go through the roof. Just going to throw that out there for what it's worth. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Is it a weird day? I think it's a weird day. It really is a weird day. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Really no good way to segue here. Josh Jones, our Republican strategist. You should have hung up, Josh.
Listen, you never know what might get thrown your way, so you got to be ready for anything.
You never know. I'm always, I think, and again, I'm not a Republican strategist. I mean, you're the expert here. I would always advise my clients to be fully clothed at all times.
Yeah, that's a pretty good baseline advice. So who knows, Todd, maybe you are an expert.
You never know. Hey, can we talk about the Democrats here, Josh? And I want to get your take on the book just coming out, Jake Tapper's book. It's just really mind-blowing that Democrats actually thought they could get away with covering up Biden's mental decline.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And it's so telling, too, that Jake Tapper and also some of the other journalists are coming out and acknowledging and admitting that they were wrong and that there was this cover-up. And the only reason they're doing it now is because Biden lost and they know they're about to be exposed. So everyone's trying to get on the life raft and not be the last one on the sinking ship. So Democrats and the journalists that were complicit in this cover-up should be ashamed of themselves. And it's just so telling that now this is all coming out a day or two before this book drop by Jake Tapper.
I appreciate the fact that Jake is doing a sit down with Megyn Kelly today, and that's happening as you and I are speaking here. And I was troubled though by one thing. She called him out on the Lara Trump interview where he just viciously attacked Lara Trump, and it turned out that she was right. She had the facts on her side. And she asked Jake if he ever apologized. And he said, well, I did that privately. Really? Dude, you disparaged the woman. You denigrated her on national television. And you don't have the decency to apologize on national television?
Exactly. No. And this is a debate that happened in a public space. Let's be clear about that. But also, too, he's a journalist. His whole job and his professional life is to report the facts as they are without a narrative. And he made a public statement defending or attacking Laura Trump for a position. And then he finds out he was wrong and he doesn't go and correct the record and just continues to be complicit in misleading people. He should have been on national television issuing an apology and correcting the record and moving forward. Because let's also be clear, it's okay to make mistakes. Journalists can make mistakes. But what makes it right is whenever you own that up in the public space. If you don't do that, then you're not doing your job properly.
I have to imagine, Josh, it's got to be hard for you guys because you're training these lawmakers, these politicians, up-and-coming politicians on how to work with the media. And it's just very clear to me through reading Jake's book over the weekend that they're not willing to give Republicans a fair shake, and they're always going to cover up and side with the Democrats.
You're absolutely correct, Todd. I mean, even if the clients I work with or just stories that I hear, I mean, this is – and everybody knows it, too. I mean, the American populace, Republicans running for office, everybody across the board knows the bias in the media. So the reality is, as Republicans, you have to take that into account whenever you're making a media appearance or deciding, what outlets you want to work with. It's a sad reality, but, I mean, that's the reality of the landscape that we're in right now.
Mm. Do you see this as an opportunity zone for Republicans, though? I mean, I think the media, I think that the American people are seeing the media for what they really are here. And the fact that they just they deceived the entire nation.
Yeah, no, there absolutely is an opportunity here. I mean, so many Americans already have such high distrust in the media, whether it be from, you know, personal biases or, you know, pushing a narrative of a certain political party or a political candidate for that matter. So, no, there's definitely an opportunity here for Republicans to have a receipt to hold in front of the American people and say, look, this is what they're doing. This is the reality. And in a lot of cases, as a Republican candidate, you have to go around the media a lot of times. And you can take your message directly to the American people. So hopefully this opens the eyes, you know, for that part of the country who still, you know, has total faith in the media that, you know, not everything's as perfect as they may think it is.
Well, and that's, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of things. Again, I am cautiously optimistic that we're going to do okay in the midterms. You know, a lot of it has to do with getting the president's agenda across the finish line, the reconciliation bill, President Trump's big, beautiful bill. And I think we're heading in that direction. But, Josh, looking ahead, I want you to pull out your crystal ball there. What are the midterms looking like, and how are you guys getting your candidates prepared for what they're going to face in the midterms?
Yeah. Like you said, Todd, we're a little far out right now, so it's hard to tell, but like you said, cautiously optimistic. Kind of the message for the Republicans right now, and that's the Republicans in Congress, need to be to get rolling, to start getting things done. We have control of Congress and the White House. So the House Republicans and the House Senate members need to get rolling on implementing Trump's policies that he's tried to implement through executive orders. But if that isn't passed by Congress, next president comes in, they can undo all that in the sign of a pen. So what Congress needs to do is lock in and focus on getting the job done and get these laws passed and signed into law. That way, whenever you go to the people come this time next year in the midterms, you can make a case of, look at all the things we've got done, and we're going to keep getting it done.
Josh, I literally had a lawmaker on, a couple of weeks ago, and the guy literally said, because I'm like, so what's the strategy here? Why not just go ahead, work around the clock, stop taking the vacation days, and get the whole agenda through? And he said, well, that's our strategy, is to tell the voters we need two more years so we can finish doing Trump's bidding. And I'm like, that's a terrible strategy.
No, that is a terrible strategy. I mean, I'll, granted, I'm just one voice, but that would not be my recommendation to anybody. You have control of the Congress right now. You have control of the White House. It's time to get as much done as you can. And that's what the American people sent them to D.C. for in this past election. And they will only keep them there if they do that. So,
Josh, I got to tell you, I don't know if there's anybody that's really standing out for you in this administration so far, aside from President Trump. I am just so impressed with Marco Rubio. He's really, I think, gone above and beyond in my estimation.
No, I totally agree. Secretary Rubio's done a great job. I mean, even today, I don't know if you caught any of it, but Rubio was on the Hill for 3 hours testifying, defending the proposed budget and the reorganization of the State Department. I mean, he's just been an absolute rock star for this administration, both in supporting President Trump's agenda and also supporting and restoring America's image overseas. So, no, Rubio, I mean, there's a whole host of cabinet members and other appointees that have done a great job, but he's definitely been one of the rock stars so far.
All right, Josh, we're going to leave it there. Everything else going well?
Yeah, everything's going great. I appreciate it, Todd.
All right, good stuff. Josh Jones, ladies and gentlemen, our man in Washington, D.C. Hey, Josh, if you run into Dieter, you know, he's up on Capitol Hill now. They gave
right
him
here
the
now. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I don't know who thought it was a good idea to give that guy keys to the building, but tell him we said hello.
Yeah, I'll pass it along.
All right. Josh Jones, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Anybody impressing you in the Trump administration, the Trump White House? I will say that Susie Wiles is doing an amazing job. Home run there. She is a fierce and ferocious protector of the president and the agenda. I will say that you got to give him some credit here. Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, he's getting the job done for President Trump. We will see. We've got a midnight vote coming up, and we're going to be paying very close attention to what happens. But things are looking good right now for President Trump and the agenda. All right, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
The comments of Joe Biden making gaffes, saying things stupid, tripping, are all important and all deserved to be aired and all deserve scrutiny. But as you know, Megan, because even though you look 30 years younger than me, we're roughly the same age, Joe Biden has been saying stupid things for decades. Okay.
I get and what you're saying, but this minimizes it too, because it was
more than saying stupid things.
But I'm telling you, like over here in my ecosphere, we were covering all of these. It wasn't just falling down; it was getting lost. It was some of the stuff you report in your book. We knew, and we were reporting on, like the multi jump cuts in the videos of him, where it was obvious he couldn't get through a 1 minute take, so they had to use those. It was clear to us that he was using teleprompter, and there was some reporting on that at the time, all of which the White House was denying. Now, with the current White House, I have some connections. With the Joe Biden White House, I had none, but you did. You did. And so you've been in Washington 30 years, Jake. You guys, you and CNN have White House connections, but there was no effort. None to get to the bottom of this. And now
that's
for you guys to write this book, like there was a cover up. It's like there was a cover up and there was an attempted cover up. It could only ever work if you allowed it, if the press allowed it. Some of us tried not to, and some of us were complicit.
First of all, the Biden White House did not like me. Okay, I do not have great connections with the Biden White House.
Well, clearly, so you have a lot of sources. You say you talked to over 200 sources for this book.
This was after the election.
You could have called and worked.
No, that's the point, is that they were not being honest. That's the point.
you got to love it. That's Megyn Kelly taking Jake Tapper out to the woodshed. And it really doesn't matter how you frame this argument. It's clear that Jake Tapper was on a, well, they didn't like me. They were mean to me. No, actually, Jake Tapper, you carried water for Joe Biden in this administration. And how many of us, for years, we were telling you, and we were telling the mainstream media, that Joe Biden had cognitive issues. Jake Tapper himself admitted in the book that as early as 2017, they were noticing those issues. So I've got no sympathy for Jake Tapper right now. And I think there's going to be you-know-what to pay. Here's what I predict is going to happen. I think a lot of people are just going to turn off CNN and MSDNC. And I think a lot of people, and by the way, I will say this, that there has been a movement of people to Newsmax. And one of the reasons why, and I hear this from a lot of you, I hear this from a lot of my listeners and viewers, that you may not agree with me, but at least you know where I stand on the issues. As a matter of fact, some of you have actually thought, well, you know what, Stearns is a little far right. Others say Stearns is a little far left. I kind of like that. There are some issues that I'm very passionate about on one side or the other. I'm not reading off of anybody's talking points. CNN, MSDNC, they write the talking points for the Democrats. But I think when people are, one of the things drawing people to TV networks like Newsmax is we're the last pioneers. We're the last frontier in the conservative media scape. And I love the ability to be able to get on Newsmax. They don't tell me what I can or cannot say, and I appreciate that. Now, I can tell you my opinion about Joe Biden. There are some conservatives out there, and, man, some of the comments have been pretty ugly. I mean, really ugly. People hoping that Joe Biden dies a horrible death. Well, you know what? That tells me you're not a true conservative. Because conservatives, we cherish life. We cherish humans and humanity. We care for each other. And my goal is not to humiliate liberals. My goal is to convince them that the right way of thinking is the right way of thinking. And it just overwhelms me sometimes, you know, when I see that level of hostility. When I get back to my, I'm going to get back to the overarching point here, is that we're going to be straight shooters with you. And again, this, for example, the One Big Beautiful Bill, there's a lot of really bad stuff in that bill, but there's a lot of really great stuff, and there's more great stuff than bad stuff, and we need that so that we can do more good down the road. And I am willing to give President Trump the benefit of the doubt. So when I tell you that, it means that, you know what, I acknowledge that there are some things that I don't support in here, but the overarching message of the One Beautiful Bill is a good thing, and Donald Trump deserves that. So, again, going back to Jake Tapper and what they have done, they have done a horrible thing to this nation, and I want to explain why. We need a good press. We need reporters and journalists that are going to hold our elected leaders accountable. We need those kinds of people. We need a strong media presence in this nation. To be honest with you, though, I don't think we've ever had one. I mean, we've had glimpses of it. And I will say there was a time, a long time ago, when the New York Times was a great newspaper. Not now. Really not in the 21st century. So the question is, what happens if we don't have a strong press? What happens if the media turns into a propaganda wing of a political party? Well, you get the mess that we have now. And I really appreciate the work that Josh Jones is doing. By the way, a graduate of Liberty University, and they're turning out good, solid Christians, conservatives, and they're putting those people in Washington, D.C., where they can be people of influence. But that's going to take time. It's going to take time. We need the same thing happening in the journalism departments in many of these Christian universities. Journalism departments in the mainstream schools, it's over. Yeah, state schools, yeah, you're screwed. But there is hope, I think, in a lot of these Christian schools. But as much as we need conservative journalists or conservative politicians, we need journalists that are willing to go out there and be impartial, to be fair and balanced in their coverage. That's what we need. All right, I've got to take a quick break here, everybody. Hang tight. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. Have you been following this WNBA saga? This is an insane story. So Caitlin Clark has actually made the WNBA watchable. Up until then, nobody was watching. As a matter of fact, even to this day, even with the support and the success of Caitlin Clark, we have seen that the WNBA is still subsidized by the NBA. So the men are basically paying the girls an allowance of sorts to play basketball. And so now there's a big investigation underway, and there are all sorts of allegations involving an altercation with Caitlin Clark. And we're going to get to that story in just a moment. But right now, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the great congressman from the state of Texas, Congressman Lance Gooden. Congressman, I know you guys are very busy at it today.
We are hard at work, but it's a good day, and I'm hoping the weekend's well.
Well, let's talk about the timeline here. When are you guys expecting to vote on the president's big, beautiful bill?
Well, the hope is that Wednesday night, so tomorrow night, is when we'll vote this thing out of here at 1 a.m. Eastern time tonight, just after midnight in about 12 hours.
the rules committee is going to meet, and they will debate various amendments and get the final product ready and hopefully approved. And then we'll have final passage on tomorrow night, Monday night, if all goes well. Possibility it runs into Thursday. There's threats that Memorial Day weekend will be canceled if it's not done. But I've seen threats before, and typically they don't come to fruition.
You know, I was listening to Chad Pergram over on Fox, and Pergram is not as optimistic as you are. What are you hearing among the rank and file?
Well, I said I was hopeful, not optimistic.
Oh, okay.
But the rank and file, you know, we've got two main problems, groups of, I won't call them problems, but groups of folks that have concerns. One are the state and local tax members from places like New York and California. They want a higher deduction. President Trump said, take the deal that the speaker offered you and move on. We'll see what they do. And then we've got some members of the Freedom Caucus who think we should have further cuts. President Trump said, take it like it is. This is a win, and let's move forward and get something accomplished, and then we'll hash out the details this month. But this is not a scenario where everyone is going to be happy. This is an up or down vote on a very big and hopefully beautiful bill. We knew that going into the process. So anyone that is saying, I want this, otherwise I'm going to vote no, in my mind, in the president's mind, is being a little selfish at this point. The time for getting everything we wanted was election day. We should have had more seats to play with in the House. We should have won bigger majorities, but we didn't. We got the White House, and the only person in my mind in this town that has a mandate is President Trump. And the American people, especially Republicans, are fully behind him and the direction he's leading us. So I think this is our opportunity to give the president what he's asking for, and that's for respect for the mandate that the voters gave him.
You know, it just seems to me on the issue of SALT, that is a state and local issue. And if you're concerned about taxes there, maybe you ought to be working very hard in your home districts, in your home states, to lower those taxes, if that's going to be an issue.
Democrat leaders of these states should not get a break for high tax policies. You know, I hear people all the time say they're moving to Florida or moving to Texas. That's how it should be. If you're not happy and you're losing folks to high taxes, then maybe you'll change your policy if you're losing out on revenue. And I think that they don't need to be rewarded. It is true that New York and California send large amounts of tax dollars to the federal government, but they've got large populations. It is also very true that they have irresponsible state and local tax policies that my constituents, frankly, shouldn't have to pay for.
So, Congressman, on the other side of it, and I have a lot of friends on both sides of this big battle within the Republican Party right now. And my overarching concerns here, and there are many about the big, beautiful bill, but I've just had to put those aside because this is what President Trump wants. And my working platform has always been whatever Trump wants, he gets because he won with a mandate. And to your point, you guys in the House barely won. So I think you need to be doing what the president wants, even if it does not accomplish everything we need accomplished right now.
Agreed. I think you're totally right. And this is the one time in my recent memory where everyone is on board with the leader of our party. You know, when Bush was president, name your Republican before him, there was just no consensus among conservatives that this person is who we voted for to lead the party, and we're going to support whatever they say, even if we don't really love it. And never in my lifetime have I seen someone get behind the leader of the party like we have President Trump. And he has gotten behind policies that, frankly, would not have flown or passed muster 10 years or less ago. But the voters, the base that I represent, they are okay with it because they trust this man. And they believe that in the end, the American people are behind this president, and that they believe that he has their best interests at heart. And they think that the direction of our country, where we're going, is finally in a positive direction since he's been in charge. So why would we punish him? And why would we not lean on him at this juncture?
No, I understand that. And I think the challenge, though, is that the people like Chip Roy and Ralph Norman and the others Thomas Massie, they're actually correct. I mean, they're not wrong. You know, they're fiscal conservatives. They're fiscal hawks. So they really want what is best for the party, and they want the party to, you know, embrace fiscal conservatism. And in some ways, this does not accomplish that. So, again, there is a risk here, because if this doesn't work, the party's screwed in the midterms.
That's right. And, you know, the one thing, if I could, if, I don't want to be negative on my friends in the Freedom Caucus, but the one thing that I think that sometimes they don't acknowledge is that there are just not the votes over in the Senate and perhaps the House to get everything that you and I and them would love to have. The votes just aren't there, and they're not going to be there. And so are we going to accept something a little less than ideal in exchange for passage, or are we going to say to hell with it if we can't get everything we've wanted and we'll just accept nothing being passed, because the Democrats would love for nothing to pass. And I just don't think that that's an option that the voters across the nation are okay with. They yeah. want President Trump to deliver at least on the vast majority of what he promised, and this does that.
No, I get it. I get it. I think it's going to be bad form if we're all celebrating and cheering and, you know, putting on party hats and blowing horns, because, again, there's still a lot more to get accomplished here. And, Congressman, I do want to ask you real quick, and, again, we appreciate you coming on the show today. DOGE, and this goes big picture here. DOGE, the executive orders, what is it really going to take to light a fire under Congress to get these things codified? I really think we almost need like a Ford production assembly line here, because there's so much the president's doing that has to get codified, or else it all goes away in 2028.
Yeah, well, you know, the big problem is over in the Senate is with that 60-vote requirement. And I think people don't realize that the whole purpose of reconciliation, which is this big, beautiful bill, is to get around that 60-vote requirement. And so we're going to accomplish a great deal in this bill, huge influx of funds for these deportations, which that was the biggest issue in November, was the borders had been open for 4 years. My constituents were saying, we have got to close the border. As much as you and I hate excessive spending and debt, I didn't have one person come up to me in the closing weeks and months of last campaign saying, oh, my goodness, we've just got to cut spending. I'm sorry. I just don't hear that. I heard we've got to close the border. The sky is falling. If we lose this election and this border stays open for another 4 years, we're going to lose our country. And so this president and this budget will get that border totally under control on a permanent basis. We're going to deport a great deal of illegals that were here, and we will cut spending. Is it going to be as much as I'd like? No, it's not. But we've also got the rest of this year. This is just a huge step, because if we can't get this bill passed, there's really no scenario where we're going to actually codify any of these executive orders. And I think that this bill, once passed, will really ignite the president and get him in a position to really lead. If he can say, hey, I led you all to the promised land, let's keep going, and what's next? I think we'll get there. I think he'll have quite a bit of credibility, and we'll have some wins to be proud of.
And again, the looming issue here is the expiration of those beautiful tax cuts, which is a grave concern, I think, to every American.
I think you're right. The idea that we could elect a president with this mandate and we could be given power in the Senate and in House, even if it's not a great majority, that it's just a little bit of power, the idea that we could be given the keys to the kingdom and we not deliver for the American people fits right into the Democratic playbook of the adults are not in charge. I believe the adults are in charge, but it's important for us to actually deliver for the American people. The last thing I want is for Democrats to be able to rightfully say Republicans were in charge of all levers of government and they accomplished nothing.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the good work. And again, this is just a matter of you got to compromise. That's what politics is. And we're going to be able to come back and fight another day.
If someone from the middle or the left were telling me I had to compromise, I would understand the suspicion. But this is Donald Trump. We trust him. And if he's asking us to make a deal, I trust it's going to be a good one.
Exactly. All right. Congressman, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Congressman Lance Gooden, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Texas. And I hear you, folks. It's it's the good thing here. It's not a crap sandwich, but it's kind of like, I get it. I understand why there are people that are aggravated, but this is what President Trump wants. Let's trust the president here. And again, if it all blows up in our face, guess what? It blows up in our face. I mean, that's where we're at right now. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. When we come back, I want to finish my thoughts on this crazy story out of the WNBA. All right, Dylan, I've got some intel on Capitol Hill. So our good friend, so we had a great former, well, he's still a current friend, but a former congressman, Billy Long. And you might remember him. We got to find this audio. Billy Long was the congressman who they were doing a congressional hearing, and Laura Loomer interrupted the hearing back in the day. And so then Billy Long, who is a professional auctioneer, decided to intervene. When you get it, Dylan, holler at me. I know I'm calling an audible. Anyway, Billy Long is up for a confirmation hearing today. He's a great friend of President Trump. And our good friend Lance and Terry Walker, who are the host of Walker Auctions, and they do a lot. They're right here in Memphis, Tennessee. They have a show on the radio station I own, KWAM. And they're good friends with Gary Sinise, and they do a lot of these high-end auctions. So anyway, they just sent me a note. They're up on Capitol Hill for Congressman Long's hearing. Oh, we've got it, Dylan? All right, let's listen.
Saying I can't understand her. What?
That is why he's censoring and shadow banning.
How many in? 12 at hand, 15, 7 at hand, $20, 2 at hand, 5, 7 at hand, 30. Yep, $30 down here, 2 at hand, 5, 35, 7 at hand, 40. Yep, $40, 2 at hand, 5, 5, 45, 7 at hand, 50. That's $50 down here, 2 at
hand, 5, 5, 5, will you escort this young lady out, please?
Yep, 2 at hand, now 5, 65, 7 at hand, 70. But 2 at hand, now 5, 75, 7 at hand, $80 to 5, 85, 90. $800 at hand, 10, 10, a quarter, 1 to quarter, 1 half, 7 at 2, 2 at a quarter. Yep, 2 at hand, 7 at 3, able to bomb 300. Yep, 3 and a quarter. Cut 3 and a quarter now, half, half, 3 and a half, 7 at 400. Yep, but a 4, 4 and a quarter, 4 and a half. We're selling the cell phone there, 4 and a quarter, 4 and a half. Yep, 4 and a half, 475, 500, 5, 5 and a quarter, 5 and a half. I yield back.
You know, it's hard. Dylan, you've heard. I mean, you know Lance and Terry, and they're just great folks. But they're like,
it's a new language. It's like, it's very fast.
And I went to a Church of God college, and I cannot interpret.
You can't. Auctionese. What they call it.
Is that what they call it? Yeah. Auctionese? So anyway, Lance and Terry just sent me a note, Dylan. Guess who they ran into on Capitol Hill?
Who?
Ben Dieter.
Oh, my gosh.
So they sent me a photo, and, of course, our recently departed, sounds like he's dead, our dearly departed executive producer is now a press secretary up on Capitol Hill, and they just had lunch, and apparently there's a Chipotle in the Capitol building somewhere.
That's dangerous.
Yes. So you probably don't want to eat at Chipotle before going into a congressional hearing.
Yeah, those bean burritos.
If it runs long, you're going to be hearing something other than an auction call. I'm just saying, it is good, but you know, you got to know your audience. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like in Washington, D.C., Ben's Chili Bowl. I would highly recommend that a restaurant for anyone going to Washington, D.C. But they actually have a Ben's Chili Bowl at the airport, Reagan National. And I'm thinking, who in their right mind eats a big old bowl of chili before hopping on board a jetliner? That's a bad situation.
Somebody with a load of Tums they can take right after.
Clearly. All right, we're going to start this conversation here now, Dylan, and continue it after the break. Here's what gets me about this Angel Reese. So they're the WNBA launching a racism investigation. And this is the day after Angel Reese got into an on-court altercation with Caitlin Clark, who, by the way, it looks like it was a pretty fair call to me. I mean, it was a foul, but it wasn't anything inappropriate.
Yeah.
Here's what gets me. And apparently somebody in the stands said something that may or may not have been racist. And so the WNBA is launching a massive investigation. I just want to ask you a question. Last season, They nearly tried to decapitate Caitlin Clark on the basketball court. Where are all the investigations then?
Yeah, there was no outrage for that. They just let it happen.
They beat her. They pummeled Caitlin Clark on the basketball court.
Way worse than what happened this past couple days.
What you looking at, white girl? I mean, that's what they were saying. I mean, they were attacking her for being white. Man, I'd hit the salon. I'd be putting on some bronzer. I mean, they were coming after her.
Yeah.
The WNBA strongly condemns racism, hate, and discrimination in all forms. They have no place in our league or in society. That's a statement from the WNBA. That's not true, because they tolerated it with Caitlin Clark. They tolerated it, and they turned the other way. Actually, they didn't. They just stood there and watched it. And God forbid, as a matter of fact, when they showed the video of the foul, they kept showing it over and over again. And Dylan, you know the reason why. Because they wanted you to think that Caitlin Clark was being racist towards Angel Reese.
Yeah. And they didn't even show like what happened right before that, which is what made her do that in the first place. So it's just, it's ridiculous.
It's outrageous. And again, the question is, do white people have a place in like the WNBA or the NBA? Oh, by the way, I think a white kid got picked for the University of Memphis Tigers basketball team. That's kind of exciting. Don't see that every decade. We'll be right back, America.
You covered the Biden presidency aggressively throughout the 4 years, and you didn't cover mental acuity hardly at all. I mean, time and time again, when issues came up, you seemed to be running cover for the president.
I don't think you seemed interested. That's true.
Well, I mean, we'll start with the Laura Trump issue that you referred. Here it is. This happened in 2020.
Joe Biden, as we all know, has worked to overcome a stutter. How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
First and foremost, I had no idea that Joe Biden ever suffered from a stutter. I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
You are so amazing.
You're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was
I think that you were mocking his stutter. Yeah, I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline.
And it's very concerning to a lot of people that this could be the leader of the free world.
Okay.
That is all I'm saying. I genuinely feel sorry for Joe Biden.
I appreciate it. I'm sure it was from a place of concern. We all believe that. Laura Trump, thank you so much.
Do you want to apologize to Laura Trump now?
Wow. And he said, that's when he said, well, you know, I called her up afterwards and it turned out she was right and I apologized. Well, why didn't you do it on national television? Why didn't you bring Laura Trump back on and apologize to her face? Why not just be a man about it? And that's a big problem in the national media. A lot of these male news anchors, they don't have man parts anymore. It's really sad. I mean, they've got good looking hair, good makeup, you know, but a little guy liner. But they don't have the man parts, and that's really unfortunate. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you with us. 901-260-5926. So yesterday we played you some audio of Mayor Brandon Johnson from Chicago. And he is openly admitting that he only hires black people to run Chicago. He also said that the reason why he only hires black people and doesn't give any other skin color a chance is because black people are the most generous race. Now, he delivered these remarks on Sunday in a church. Take a listen to Cut 8.
Some detractors that will push back on me and say, you know, the only thing that the mayor talks about is the hiring of black people. No, what I'm saying is when you hire our people, we always look out for everybody else. We are the most generous people on the planet. I don't know too many cultures that have play cousins. That's how generous we are. We just make somebody a family member, right? This is how we are. And so business and economic neighborhood development, the deputy mayor is a black woman. Department of Planning and Development is a black woman. Infrastructure deputy mayor is a black woman. Chief operations officer is a black man. Budget director is a black woman. Senior advisor is a black man.
And he goes on and on and on. It's just, I mean, he just lays it all out there. And the mayor, when asked about all of this, says, yeah, he says, yes, this is a, I mean, it is anti-white racism. I mean, it's just shocking that you would have someone like the mayor of Chicago, Windy City, coming out and saying that they don't like Whitey. Cut number three, please.
Do you know there's never been a prime construction company that has led growth for an airport, particularly in cargo, anywhere in the United States of America? But Boa Construction received the prime construction contract at O'Hare under my administration. It's the first black prime construction work company to have a prime contract anywhere in the United States of America. And that's critical, not just for Boa Construction, but for the lives that he's going to transform because he's hiring them. But it's also critical for other major construction companies or mid-sized construction companies that are black-owned to know that there is a mayor who sees them and is going to work hard to ensure that whether you're developing homes, whether you are, you know, looking to help take advantage of the opportunities through aviation, you know, whether it's entrepreneurship to provide a service, that there are resources available for you in the city of Chicago. And one thing that I know for sure that I have to do over these next 2 years, every single dime that our people have been robbed of, I want to make sure that that is returned to threefold, because I believe in something called press down, running over. That is what we have to make sure that happens within our communities.
Oh, is that what they're calling reparations in Chicagoland? All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, again, I appreciate the mayor being honest, and it's very difficult to hear these words if you are a person who ascribes to the notion that people should be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. I get why the mayor's comments could be so off-putting, if you will. But it's true. I mean, we see the same thing happen in Memphis, Tennessee, where white people have been told their opinions really do not matter, that they just have to sit down, shut up, and pay their taxes. That's their job. Now, me personally, I disagree with that. You know, for me, when I hear a term like diversity, I mean, that's everybody, right? That's what it ought to mean. But when the mayor of Chicago or the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, the homicide capital of the world, according to the of the nation, according to the FBI, when I hear those mayors, both black men and well-educated black men, by the way, all right, these are very well-educated black men. They have formed their opinion in the institutions of higher learning in America. So this is not some sort of an uneducated, unformed opinion they have. I mean, it is certainly wrongheaded and, dare I say, racist. But, you know, it is their opinion, and it is a well-formed opinion. I don't want to take anything away from these mayors. But it seems to me that we are better off as a society when we're actually picking the right people for the jobs, the most well-qualified people for the jobs. And that's not what's been happening. And it's not just in Chicago or Memphis. This is all over America over the past, really going all the way back to the Barack Hussein Obama years. And dare I say that was Barack Obama was a diversity hire. He was, and I know that firsthand, because I covered that election as a news reporter for Fox News, and everywhere I went, I was embedded with the Obama campaign. Everywhere I went, I always asked people why they were voting for Barack Obama, and they would tell me. It wasn't a secret. It wasn't a big deal for a lot of folks. Well, he's one One lady said, why do you think Jacksonville, North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina, I will never forget this. I waited up in the stands of this big arena, and I asked a lady, I was sitting there interviewing her, and I said, so why are you voting? And she looked at me. She says, why do you think I'm voting for him? I'm like, and we just both started laughing because it was the truth. He wasn't the most qualified. But this has been going on for a long time. So anyway, the news here is that the Justice Department has now announced that they are investigating Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's hiring practices. He may have violated federal civil rights laws. You see, it's not just that his comments were wrongheaded or racist. The mayor's comments, ladies and gentlemen, were illegal. What the mayor is doing is unconstitutional. Now, the mayor is calling the investigation a divisive tactic, and he defended his administration's commitment to diversity. But again, with the mayor, diversity means excluding white people. The DOJ, reading from Fox32Chicago.com, the DOJ investigating whether Johnson's hiring practices violated federal civil rights law. The probe follows a speech where he emphasized appointing black leaders to key positions in his administration. Johnson said, what's clear is that not only does the Trump administration not respect the rule of law or what's sensible about our society, you would be hard-pressed to find qualified individuals who are in his administration. As my administration reflects the country, reflects the city, his administration reflects the country club. Really? The country club. The vice president of the United States grew up in abject poverty in the hills of Appalachia. What is this guy talking about? So anyway, we'll see how all of this plays out. But the mayor has stepped into a great big steaming pile of political poo, ladies and gentlemen. And we shall see how all this plays out. I would only say this. Don't get your hopes up, because I hope they prosecute him for what he has done. He needs to be removed from office. But I'm not sure that I'm just not sure we're at the level yet where Republicans are willing to follow through and put a stop to all of this racist nonsense, because that's what it is. It is racist nonsense. Stop judging people by the color of their skin, for crying out loud. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, I think Jake Tapper may be crying like a schoolgirl after this Megyn Kelly interview. Would it be inappropriate to suggest that there was no, I can't go that. I can't go down that path. Not with Jake Tapper. Oh, my goodness. Remembering the days of the Donald Trump, Megyn Kelly, Fox debate issue. By the way, you folks out in California, I want you to listen to this report here. It turns out that your supermajority of Democrats are looking at raising your taxes again, and wait until you hear the reason why.
Well, a new tax, cuts to other state services. These are things that are now being talked about here at the state capitol as some lawmakers try to continue providing health care to undocumented people at the scale that California has been. As we've been reporting, state leaders ended up spending a lot more money than they thought they would on this program. This year alone, to cover 1.6 million undocumented people, California taxpayers are spending about $11 billion. The state next year is expecting to spend even more.
Okay, so this is a pretty fascinating story coming out of, that's, by the way, KCRA-TV in Sacramento. Great town. And the Latino Caucus, announcing that Democrats should do everything they can to provide, to keep providing health care for illegals, even if that means raising the taxes on all of you native-born Californians. So new budget documents, according to KCRA, show that, are you ready for this? that all you taxpayers, you American-born, California-born taxpayers, they took $11 billion of your money and they used $11 billion of your money to provide health care coverage to 1.6 million illegals living in California. State leaders apparently underestimated just how much the program would cost. The news comes as Governor Gavin Newsom announced that California is grappling with a budget shortfall of $12 billion. State Senator Carolina Menendez of Van Nuys, a Democrat, says the rhetoric, what they want you to believe, is that our community is at fault for the state's deficit. But it's not. Actually, ma'am, it is. Year after year after year after entities and businesses are getting away with providing a less than livable wage, they're getting away with forcing them into our state's driven Medi-Cal program. Ladies and gentlemen of California, this is what happens when you elect Democrats. And I pray that Steve Hilton, who is running for governor, and other Republicans will have a unified message. You know, the big problem in California with the Republican Party there, they've really got no message, no unifying message here. And I would look at somebody like the former Los Angeles County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, announced 40 years he was a Democrat, joined the Republican Party. Those kinds of people need to be at the forefront of whatever this new Republican Party is going to be in California. Because right now, whatever they've been doing up until this point has not only not worked, but it's led to a supermajority of Democrats in the state house. It's horrible what's going on there. And I know that a lot of you are wanting to get U-Hauls and move. I get that. But I'm telling you, you got to stay. You got to stay and you got to fight for your state. And I think a lot of other folks need to hear that message. And it's not just California. You folks in New Jersey and New York, Colorado, you got to stay, conservatives, and you got to fight. We need you there. You know, one of the other big issues is that not only are conservatives moving, but so are liberals. They're like, we can't afford this. But what they don't realize is it's their politics that caused the problem to begin with. And what are they doing? They're packing their underpants and their sweaters and their jackets. And they're also packing their politics and they're bringing them to places like North Carolina. Once a rock solid red state, and now you folks are purple. It's tough. I'm telling you, North Carolina, you need to practice stronger border security for the folks coming in from the northern states. By the way, South Carolina, you're next. And Georgia, geez, hello. But the issue with the Georgia Republicans, and I was on with my good friend this morning on WDUN. I do a morning hit with Bill Maine. And the challenge there is Republican infighting, and dare I say a Republican civil war in the state of Georgia. You guys got to knock it off. We don't have the time for this, and now is not the time. We've got to figure out what's going on. If you got rhinos, you got to get those figured out. Rhinos, let me talk to you for just a moment. You can't be a rhino anymore. You got to embrace this winning agenda that President Donald J. Trump has presented before us. It's called the America First Movement. You may not like all of the precepts of it, but it doesn't matter. It's the agenda that got Trump his mandate. And if you want to win at the state level, if you want to win at the local level, then you are going to need to embrace those precepts. And if you don't, well, you're going to lose. You got two Democrat senators in the state of Georgia right now. It's just unacceptable. So my encouragement, ladies and gentlemen, and really to all Republicans around the country, we've got to start unifying. That doesn't mean watering down. We've got to unify around the winning message, and the winning message is Donald J. Trump and his platform. That's the winning message here. All right, folks, this has been a lot of fun. Hey, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax tonight. Thomas Massie is going to be with us. We've got a jam-packed show as we start looking at how President Trump is going to advance the One Beautiful Bill. Also, we'll be rehashing the very latest concerning the cover-up of Joe Biden's health what a terrible story that is as well. And don't forget, folks, do not forget, head over to your favorite bookstore and pre-order a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It'll be in stores June 17th. You'll be able to get a copy on June 12th if you order it now. All right, folks, been a lot of fun. Get out there. Be safe. All you folks in the southern states, Midwest, watch out. We got some tornadoes spinning up.